I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
From the radio. No, we don't need an update. VK,
she's
no,
officially waived Byron Pringle to add DeAnthony Thomas to the active roster. Team also recently converted 2019 salaries into signing bonuses for Eric Fisher and Anthony Hitchens. That move created more than $10 million in cap space. Tyreek Hill's contract numbers have been released. This is important for the people, C-Dot. He's going to count for $2.1 million against the cap this year.
I could have told him that.
And by the way, the Chiefs back in action tonight. Or excuse me, Royals back in action.
Look at that,
tonight.
Your time's up.
Pre-game with Cody Tapp coming up.
The time's up. Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. The computer clearly didn't want an update from BK, but in selfishness, he had to give you an update. It's okay. Sean's going to give you one during his minute. You're listening to The Drive. Carrington Harrison here, Sports Machine, Sean Levine, Brandon Kylie here on the ones and twos. How's everybody doing today?
You don't know how I'm going to spend my minute, although you're right. it's Raiders week. I'm glad to be here.
Is it a baseball standings update?
Just leave me alone, BK. Keep screwing up your updates over there.
That's fair. Touche, sir.
The Raiders, actually.
You shouldn't throw stones if you live in a glass house. That's what 50 Cent told me back in 2003.
Right, meanwhile, C-Dot's messing up the survivor pool, man. It's a hell of a show we got going right here.
Not good.
Thank you so much for listening. Once again, it is The Drive. Carrington here, Sean here, Brandon Kylie here, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll get into our one big Chiefs question for the week. We'll do that every Tuesday at 2:30. So keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. Before we go along any further, let's give you a chance to win a prize. Every day this week at 2 o'clock, we are giving you a chance to win two movie passes to Alamo Drafthouse. In my opinion, it is the best movie theater in the city. So if you want to go see it, if you want to save them for a different movie, you can do just that. All you got to do is three things. Number one, you got to be caller number three to or six, caller number six to 913-576-7610. Number two, you got to tell one friend. I don't care if you tell two friends, but you got to tell one friend. And number three, I messed that completely up.
Have you guys been drinking before the show and didn't invite me?
That's it. I do that every day and I mess it up from time to time. That's neither here nor there. Let's actually get into sports instead of making fun of each other. Yesterday, Deshaun Watson was absolutely incredible.
Here comes pressure off the edge. It's Von Bell. He gets rid of it. He did it. Kenny Stills. Welcome to the Texans. What drama in New Orleans. Deshaun Watson.
We have gotten a very poor lot when it comes to nationally televised NFL games of late.
I love Joe Tessitore.
I love him too. Dating back to the Super Bowl, one of the worst football games I've ever sat through in my entire life. Thursday night football, Bears and Packers, an absolutely dreadful experience that was not enjoyed by anyone. Sunday night football, the absolute drubbing by the New England Patriots to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Monday night, I'm sitting there and I'm locked in and I'm like, you know what? It's been a long week of college football, a long week of NFL football. But if there's NFL football on, I'm sitting down and I'm watching it. And you know what we got? Hmm. We got an incredible game yesterday between the Houston Texans and the New Orleans Saints. This is where I want to start. Sometimes when we have sports discussions, we make it seem like only one team can be the winner. Like, we agree. The Chiefs won with the drafting of Patrick Mahomes. If you go from 27 to 10 to get your franchise quarterback, and he's not just your franchise quarterback, he might be the franchise quarterback in the NFL. Every single person would come to the conclusion that the Chiefs won the Patrick Mahomes draft.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that the Texans didn't win either. Like, I'm watching it yesterday, and Deshaun Watson's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. I don't know if he's 3, I don't know if he's 7, I don't know if he's 8, but the player that I watched play yesterday for the Houston Texans, with that offensive line, with Carlos Hyde at running back, that guy's one of the top 10 players in the NFL. He was absolutely amazing. The throw to DeAndre Hopkins on the sideline when they were trying to go down the field, the throw to Kenny Stills to take the lead, Deshaun Watson was absolutely brilliant. This is the 1983 quarterback class. You've got the Elway, you've got the Marino, and then the Bears got the Todd Blackledge. We're going to have a really fun time watching NFL football with Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes over the next 15 years.
No question. The Chiefs are thrilled with what they did trading up to get Patrick Mahomes. Thank you, Captain Obvious. And the Texans are happy with what they did in landing Deshaun Watson. You know who's not? The Bears and Mitchell Trubisky, who could have got either one of those guys, but that's another story for another day. You're right. Both teams win. Now, there's a pretty big gap between those two guys. When you're talking about talent, it's kind of like winning the pick five lottery or winning the Powerball. The Chiefs won the Powerball. You can still get rich from winning the pick five, but there's a huge gap between Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, and maybe a bigger gap between those two guys and whoever you think is the third best young quarterback in the AFC. Most of us would probably say at this point it's Baker Mayfield. I think that it's the situation that they've been placed in. And I said this a couple of months ago before the season started, and I was surprised how much backlash I got. All I said was Patrick Mahomes, and I don't take this back at all. If anything, I want to emphasize it more today. These are the two best young quarterbacks in the league. If you said, Sean, you can start a franchise, you can pick a quarterback. First, I'd say Pat. If he was already off the board, I'd say Deshaun, and there's not much question. But it's the circumstances that they've been put into. Patrick Mahomes had more weapons around him to start his career than any quarterback I can ever remember. Top five wide receiver, the rushing champion, the best tight end in football, and the best offensive coach this side of, well, I don't know, anybody in the NFL in Andy Reid. It's a different situation that Deshaun Watson's been placed in Houston. Now, it's not a terrible situation. They won 11 games last year. He has a number one target in DeAndre Hopkins. And say what you want about Bill O'Brien, he has a winning record as an NFL head coach. But it's not the same situation that Patrick Mahomes is in. All I said was if they were placed in different situations, Pat wouldn't be quite as good, and Deshaun would be even a little bit better. But we saw last night, there's no question, those are the two elite quarterbacks, young quarterbacks in the league right now.
You think Baker Mayfield's better than Carson Wentz?
Ooh. I would say in AFC, if we're starting, if you want me to give you like my quarterbacks under 25, I'd probably have Wentz ahead of him right now.
Yeah, it's not even a probably to me. I love Baker Mayfield. Baker's just got to prove it on the field just a little bit more.
Well, Baker doesn't have injuries, and Carson Wentz has already tore up his knee.
He ain't got production either, what we've seen from Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, that's your guy, not my guy.
Yeah, no, I like Baker Mayfield. I wouldn't put him ahead.
That's your guy.
Yeah, I just wouldn't put him ahead of Carson Wentz so far with what they've accomplished in their NFL career. Deshaun Watson was just amazing yesterday. BK looked this stat up. Deshaun Watson has 56 total touchdowns in 24 career regular season games. The only quarterbacks in NFL history to have more total touchdowns through their first 24 games. I think we will see that Patrick Mahomes is going to pass that very, very quickly. Kurt Warner with 60, Dan Marino with 58, and Deshaun Watson with 56. Andrew Luck, Kurt Warner, and somehow Mark Bulger got on this list.
Bulger.
He was the beneficiary of the Rams offense. The only quarterbacks in NFL history with more passing yards through their first 24 games than Deshaun Watson. I asked BK this question. How many elite quarterbacks do we think there are in the NFL? There's one in Kansas City. We're not denying that. There's no debate. Is there only one? The quarterback that I watched for Houston yesterday looked pretty elite. The quarterback for New Orleans, and I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes, but certainly looked elite yesterday. BK and I were debating it. How many elite quarterbacks are there in the league? Because Brady, I don't think, consistently plays at the level that Mahomes or Deshaun Watson plays at, but you wouldn't deny his ability come January.
And he was great in week one, 340 passing yards and three touchdowns.
Aaron Rodgers, we just watched him play week one.
He looked like trash.
I don't know if that's the second best quarterback in the NFL anymore. He was not very good in week one, but I don't want to overreact to Aaron Rodgers. He's certainly a top five quarterback, and he's probably still elite. Is it only one elite quarterback in the NFL, or is it just there's a quarterback that appears to be on a tier and a level of his own in Patrick Mahomes, and then there's a list of about seven or eight really good quarterbacks in the league?
Hello. We've been saying this. That's why when you talk about a contract, when you talk about expectations and compare them to Patrick Mahomes, not just last year where he did something that no quarterback's ever done, his first opportunity, all he did was win the league MVP, 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, and took his team to the number one overall seed in the AFC. So now it's Act Two, and right out the gates, all he did was throw for 378 yards and three touchdowns. I'm all in. Like, we talk about the stats of Patrick Mahomes, and is he going to repeat 50 touchdowns? Yeah. Based on what I've seen, he's a better – it's crazy to say – he's a better version than he was a season ago. So, and part of it also is just the progression of the NFL quarterback. Because we talked about Deshaun Watson's game yesterday, 268 passing yards. That's good, not great. You know how many other guys did that yesterday? 18. Not to mention four quarterbacks yesterday threw for more yards than even Patrick Mahomes, Andy Dalton, Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford, and the great Case Keenum. So part of it is certainly there's a lot of good young quarterbacks in the AFC led by Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Also, part of it is quarterbacking in the NFL has never been easier than it is right now.
See, Don, I think there's one player in Mahomes' class, and it's Mahomes. I think if you're talking about elite quarterbacks in the league, I think there's more than that. I think you can put Brady into that. You can go ahead and put Breeze into that. I agree with you. I think you can go ahead and put, because of what he's done in his career, not overreacting to 1 week against a really good defense, I think you can put Rodgers into that. But I think a guy like Deshaun Watson is making his way into that conversation. I think by the end of the year, we could be having a conversation about Wentz and Baker potentially being in this category. But those guys aren't in the same class as Patrick Mahomes. So we can call them elite, but whatever you want to call them, whatever category you want to put them into, there's a different tier that Patrick Mahomes is in because he can do those things that none of those other guys can. And so that's why, like, as much as we want to talk about the elite quarterback conversation, it's almost just a different category in and of itself for what Patrick Mahomes has been in his career and what I think he's going to be this year.
Really quickly, I want to play this for you. This was Brett Favre from yesterday on SiriusXM. We had the debate yesterday about who the third best team in the AFC is. Maybe the answer is Houston.
They proved themselves worthy as a contender. I was very impressed with them in a hostile environment, opening the season against Drew Brees and the electric offense that they have. And neither side disappointed, but Deshaun Watson was money and had ice water in his veins. I mean, he played exceptionally well. I think the Texans are very equipped to handle this, and they're obviously well coached, and they have a good nucleus of young players, and they have a tremendous leader in J.J. Watt. And there's a lot to be proud of in that game. You know, if there's ever a good loss, that was it.
I want to react to that on the other side. We've now seen 1 week of NFL football. We got a couple of days off until Thursday night football. Who do you think is the third best team in the AFC? You think it's Houston. They certainly looked good yesterday. We'll talk about that on the other side. Plus, the Chiefs do a little salary cap rearranging. What does it mean? We'll try to answer the question coming up. So Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2-6.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get into our Chiefs One Big Question. Every Tuesday at 2:30, we will have a Chiefs Big Question. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. I just saw the line, the look-ahead line for next week, Chiefs against the Ravens, the home opener for the Kansas City Chiefs. They are -6 against the Baltimore Ravens at Arrowhead, -6.
That's Vegas telling you the Dolphins stink.
I'm a gambling degenerate, but you're not even talking about the next game. You're talking about the game after
that. The look ahead.
I like it. Oakland, by the way, Kansas City is an 8-point favorite on the road. The over-under is 52 in that game.
Also goes to tell you how confident they are in the Kansas City Chiefs. If the Ravens, a playoff team from last year, played the Chiefs really closely last year at home, and Vegas is telling you before we even see another sample from both of these teams, -6. Chiefs got to win by a touchdown for you to cover your bet there. Like, that's a lot of confidence in the Kansas City Chiefs.
You and a lot of people are saying that Baltimore's a dangerous game, and I agree with that. I think things have just gotten so good and so smooth here in Kansas City last year and at the beginning of this season that we've just completely adjusted our expectations, because I agree with you. Baltimore's a fine football team, but they're a fringe playoff team. They're coming into Arrowhead. I get it. They put up what they scored, 59 points. It was the Dolphins. Even against a bad Chiefs defense, they don't come in here and put up any more than, let's call it, maybe 25 points. And the Chiefs are going to score 30, 35 on that defense. So I get it. Baltimore's a fine football team. But I think the Chiefs, I think 6 is about right.
Yeah, it makes sense. They're basically telling you on a neutral field, 3-point favorite. That's what they're saying. Because you get 3 points for home fields and then the 6-point line, 3 points on a neutral site. That sounds about right to me with Chiefs over the Ravens.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get into our Chiefs One Big Question. We do that every Tuesday at 2:30. We'll also give a minute, and we'll also give you a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the American Royal in today's pop quiz.
The schedule actually favors the Chiefs until they face Houston. Speaking of Houston, I thought heading into last night's game that they might be the third best team in the AFC. Whatever order you have it in, Chiefs, Patriots, Patriots, Chiefs. As of this weekend, the fact that Tyreek Hill is out for an unknown period of time and Antonio Brown is now a Patriot, I'm going to put Patriots 1 for now, Chiefs 2. To be honest with you, I think it's going to come down to that head-to-head matchup, but that's another story for another day. We're talking about the third-best team in the AFC. I still think that it's Houston after last night. They went toe-to-toe on the road with the Super Bowl contender in the New Orleans Saints. It was a weird game with weird calls and weird bounces that Houston could have and should have probably won. Deshaun Watson is a stud of a young quarterback. If you made me, and it's more what other teams haven't done. And we can always overreact after just saying 1 week of football. That's what we do as sports fans, especially as NFL fans. But, bro, After seeing Cleveland, they're not the third best team in the AFC. After watching Pittsburgh, they're sure as hell not the third best team in the AFC. I watched the Chargers and Indy. Those are two maybe average football teams right now. Who are we talking about? Like Tennessee, Baltimore? I think the answer, C-Dot, after last night, even in a loss, I agree with Brett Favre. It's Bulger, by the way, not Bulger. I do think Houston's the third best team in the AFC.
This is where I struggle with Houston. It's almost the exact same struggle as last year. It doesn't appear to be much better.
Huge gap, though, between the Chiefs, the Patriots, and Houston. Huge gap.
It's hard for me to consider you a legitimate threat and playoff contender if you can't protect your quarterback. Deshaun Watson last year got sacked 62 times. He got sacked 6 times yesterday. They have a bottom 5 offensive line in the NFL, and I know they just picked up Laremy Tunsil. If you can't protect your quarterback consistently, it's just hard to beat good teams at a high level the way Houston is going to have to do. So maybe they're the third best team. It's week one of the NFL season. We've seen a very small sample, and obviously there's a lot of football left to be played. If you can't protect your quarterback consistently, it's hard to see you advancing in the playoffs.
Speaking of protecting your quarterback, and we have this conversation for a minute, Patrick Mahomes has hit way too much in the first game versus Jacksonville. Was that more C-Dot because the Jacksonville pass rush is really good, or how concerned are you with the Chiefs' offensive line?
I think Jacksonville's pass rush is one of the 5 best in the NFL. I think they have a really elite front four that I think it's to be expected. Will we see this week against Oakland, who doesn't have the pass rush, who was near the bottom of the NFL in sacks last season? That's when I think you can raise a little bit of suspicion. But I'm not that worried about it when I think that Jacksonville's defense is elite. Maybe their cornerbacks are a little bit oversold with Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye. I think their front four solid, though.
It was concerning, not just how often he got hit, but more how he got hit. It's one thing to take hits as an NFL quarterback. It's going to happen. You release the ball, you get hit afterwards, and you pick yourself up. He was getting bent in half like a pretzel. And I'm not even talking about the play that eventually sent him into the tent, which collectively the entire breath came out of Kansas City for a couple of minutes just because the way that game was being played. It was so physical where Myles Jack had already been kicked out. Tyreek Hill had already gone out of the game because of injury. Nick Foles at that point, I believe, had already gone out. So when Patrick Mahomes went down, maybe I'm just a pessimist, but I assume the worst at that time. I couldn't breathe myself for a couple of minutes. So I'm with you. I think that that game was unique because of the Jacksonville pass rush, but I have to admit, if that's going to happen even somewhat consistently, because he got hit more in that Jacksonville game than I can remember him getting hit in total all of last season, if that's something we're going to be talking about as the year goes along, it was just kind of an assumption that Pat would be kept in one piece. That's the most important. That's the only really important thing to this team.
Yeah, I just think Jacksonville has an elite front four that sometimes, like, the other team is going to make plays. I wouldn't read too much into 1 week. The Chiefs have the best right tackle in the NFL, an above average left tackle. They have a solid offensive line. I'm not too concerned with the Chiefs' offensive line, but he did. I wouldn't say it was concerning. The only issue was the ankle hit. Other than that, I don't really think we're having too much concern about it. This might have been the first time that we looked at Patrick Mahomes and thought he was injured, and the way he got kind of rolled up on the play that I think we're maybe making a little bit more of the offensive line struggles than what it was. It wasn't anything like Houston's yesterday. You watched that game, Deshaun Watson was constantly running for his life. I don't feel like that was happening on Sunday with Patrick Mahomes. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get to our Chiefs' one big question. Let's go to our salary cap expert, and I say expert with air quotes, BK, you looked at some of the contract moves today from the Chiefs, and you're maybe reading between the lines.
Yeah, so this came from Field Yates. He said the Chiefs did base salary to signing bonus conversions for Anthony Hitchens and Eric Fisher, which created close to $10 million in cap space. Now, Sean had a question earlier today.
I'm sorry, man. That sounds like a Ponzi scheme. A base salary to signing bonus? Like, so you're telling me that he was getting paid part of his salary, and you could just go ahead and kind of wink, wink, slide that as part of the signing bonus? That's a Ponzi scheme.
Ultimately, this is all accounting, but basically, the Chiefs are going to pay this money no matter what. They're either going to have to pay it all this year on the cap, or they can spread it out over a few years. They decided to spread it out over a few years. They're kicking the can down the road is basically what they're doing. They're going to be fine. I'm not worried about it, but the only reason why you do this is, A, because you know these guys are going to be here in the future, and so Eric Fisher, any talk about him getting cut in the offseason, you can now stop that. He's going to be here next year based on this move. The second reason you would do so, and I also kind of add this in with Tyreek Hill's cap number, which we now have seen is only going to be $2 million for this year. Chiefs just added up a whole lot of cap space for this year. According to Arrowhead Pride, they're up to $23 million for the rest of the season. See, there's no reason to do that unless you think there's another move coming. Maybe it's Chris Jones' contract is about to get done, and they're going to put a bunch of that in the front loading of it. Maybe they just want to, I guess what they could do is just roll this over into Patrick Mahomes' deal next year. But, man, there seems to be a pretty clear move that could be on the horizon, which is something with a cornerback. And the reason why you would do something like this now is so that way later on you've got the money available if and when that move becomes available.
I think this is a move that is more for the trade deadline than the immediate future. I don't think they're making a move on cornerback in weeks two or week three or weeks four. Teams still think they got a shot. No one's really moving parts. But once we get closer to the trade deadline, I think it was pretty clear. I think they wanted to create enough cap space because they wanted to agree to a contract with Tyreek Hill. They knew they had the flexibility to do this with a salary cap and then give themselves enough space to help them this year. If you're going to create $11 million in cap space for this season, you can make any move in the NFL right now. You can pick up Patrick Peterson. You can pick up Jalen Ramsey. You can pick up Xavier Howard. You can make any move in the NFL for one season with $11 million in cap space and moving money around. That's what I think this move is for. Be prepared in case something happens at the deadline. If we need to make a move, we have more than enough cushion to do so.
Yeah, it sounds like Enron stuff to me, but we move on. I think that we have to give Brett Veach credit where credit is due. He's been able to assemble a team, and most of that is because he has the two best contracts in the NFL with Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill still on rookie deals. But he's got the most talented team in the NFL. He made a lot of big money moves this offseason, and there's still more than enough money available to make whatever moves the Chiefs need to do to make themselves better in season. I'm pretty rough on this guy, but when you look at the cap space that he's created, so essentially you're right. If Patrick Peterson or that type of player becomes available, the Chiefs can go out there and snatch him.
Coming up in just a little bit, we will get into our one big question. The question for today is a very simple one. Which Chiefs pass catcher stands to benefit the most from Tyreek Hill's injury? We'll get into it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in just a little bit, we will all take a minute. Plus, we'll get you a little fantasy advice with Heist. We'll also give you a chance to win a four-pack of tickets to the American Royal. All you got to do is keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. So every Tuesday at 2:30, after the dust settles, we get a little time to exhale from the Kansas City Chiefs win. We'll get into our one big question. Hit it, BK.
One big question.
All right, my question today is a very simple one. Aside from Travis Kelce and Sammy Watkins, who best stands to benefit from a Tyreek Hill injury? Aside from the two obvious choices, who's going to eat because Tyreek Hill isn't playing, Sean?
How do we end up calling this segment One Big Question and not Chief Concern? Chief Concern would be perfect title for what we're talking about. But the answer to the question
if
you
want to change the name of Chief Concern, we can
BK's
do that.
BK's the executive producer. He has to make
those
executive
names. I knew he was going to change.
See? Chief Concern. Though,
sometimes a question doesn't have to be a concern.
Mecole Hardman is the answer to the question that you asked, though. Mecole Hardman, see, part of the plan when the Chiefs drafted him was that Tyreek Hill was going to be out. There's a reason they traded up in the second round to get this guy. And you can say, well, he wasn't that great in Georgia and blah, blah, blah. The truth is, part of their plan was for him to be on the field starting week one. Well, he was on the field week one. He played 50-plus snaps. He didn't get any targets. He didn't get any catches. That's an issue. Now, part of that is because Tyreek Hill was on the field for a little bit of that game. The big portion of that is because Sammy Watkins was way better than he's ever been and than most people listening thought that he ever could be. I think Mecole Hardman's going to get opportunities. I think we saw in the preseason that he's got advanced route running skills and good enough hands for a guy this far into his NFL career that maybe I got a little bit excited. Okay, maybe I got a lot excited the day the Chiefs drafted this guy and I was throwing out numbers like 700 yards. I got to back way off that, but I do think he's going to benefit starting this Sunday. He's going to get opportunities, and I'd be surprised, C-Dot, if he doesn't get four or five targets and have two or three catches, and when he does, he's an explosive-type player. Maybe not a Tyreek Hill, maybe not a Sammy Watkins explosive-type player, but he's fast. He has breakaway speed, so I wouldn't be surprised if in those two or three catches we're talking about one or two big plays.
BK, I'll ask you the same question. Aside from Kelce and Sammy Watkins, who best stands to benefit from a Tyreek Hill injury?
I think the answer is the one that I think you're going with, C-Dot. I'd like to go a different route, but I can't. I think the answer is Damian Williams. I think Damian Williams during this time is going to be the Chiefs' version of James White. C-Dot, you made the comparison yesterday. Last year, James White for the Patriots had 87 receptions for 750 yards and 7 receiving touchdowns. Now, during this time period, I think Damian Williams can have similar production through the year. I don't think it's going to last the entire year because once Tyreek Hill gets back, they're not going to need him to do the what James White had to do for the Patriots last year. But in this time period, I think that's ultimately the guy that ends up picking up some of the slack. I think the answer here is Damian Williams.
So I looked these numbers up because I was really curious to know where he has been as a pass catcher since he has been inserted into the offense. So Sunday was the eighth game we've seen of Damian Williams. He played five games at the end of last season after the Kareem Hunt suspension, or kicked off the team, however you want to put it. Two playoff games, one game this season. In those games, they've thrown the ball to him 41 times. He has 36 catches, 272 yards, and five touchdowns. If you want a little hot take on a Tuesday, I think it's possible that Damian Williams has the most catches aside from Travis Kelce on the team in Tyreek Hill's absence. I could see them, as BK alluded to, using him in the James White form. Like, I could see one of these games, he has 10 catches. Now, I'm not saying he's going to have 150 yards in that. It's going to be dink and dunk. He gets 8 to 10 catches for 72 yards, change of pace, third down. They go to him quickly out of the backfield. That's where I think Andy Reid wants to do. Remember Deuce Staley. Remember Brian Westbrook, how he uses running backs out of the backfield. I said it yesterday. I think that LeSean McCoy is going to be the running back, and I think that Damian Williams is going to be the receiving back. He's only had one game where they've given him more than 15 carries. Like, they don't really give him the ball in the traditional turning around and handing it to him. They throw it to him a lot. They threw it to him six times on Sunday. I could see his I can see his targets and his usage rate going way up, not in the running portion, but all right, we lost Tyreek Hill. We got to make up this production in some capacity. Let's try to get more out of Damian Williams. If I had to give an answer, I would say Damian Williams. I do think it's interesting that none of us said DeMarcus Robinson. I think DeMarcus Robinson.
Yeah, we've all watched him play football.
But if we're looking at a player who maybe has a chance to shape the way that we think about him over the next month, it would be DeMarcus Robinson. DeMarcus Robinson, we saw what playing really well did for Albert Wilson. Like, let's say Albert Wilson in that game only has 72 yards. I don't think he gets that level of contract from the Miami Dolphins. If DeMarcus Robinson can step up and be a viable number two, we agree. The opportunity is going to be there. Kelsey's going to get his. Watkins is going to get his. Defenses are going to scheme to take one of those guys out the game. So it's going to be available targets. I mean, if you think that Tyreek Hill was going to have 1,600 yards this season and the Chiefs are going to throw the ball to him 130 times, man, all those passes ain't going to LeSean McCoy. All those passes ain't going to Damian Williams. Mecole Hardman's going to have to step up. DeMarcus Robinson's going to step up. Clearly, they trust DeMarcus Robinson a little bit more than they trust Mecole Hardman at this point, and it's understandable with his knowledge of the offense. So the player who probably stands to gain the most is probably DeMarcus Robinson. Is he ready for the opportunity? We'll see.
How many passing yards did Patrick Mahomes have last year?
5,000.
And how many receiving yards did DeMarcus Robinson have last year?
It was like 2-something.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, he had an opportunity in what was the third most explosive offense.
288.
And thank you. In the history of the NFL, and he was able to catch 288 receiving yards. I've seen him. Thank you. I pass. I'm interested in seeing what other guys have to offer, starting with Mecole Hardman. Now, also, the guys that we talk about a lot, that are the frontline players, are going to have to step up, like Sammy Watkins. We talked about Sammy Watkins was going to have to have a big game on Sunday before we knew Tyreek Hill was going to get hurt, because we figured Jalen Ramsey would kind of neutralize Tyreek Hill. It was a good opportunity for Sammy. The truth is, Jalen Ramsey was on Sammy the entire game, and Sammy Watkins torched him. He's going to have to continue that. I'm not talking about 198 receiving yards and two touchdowns, but I'm talking about 85 yards and a touchdown. I'm talking about 110 yards and no touchdowns. Be a frontline wide receiver. Play like you get paid. I'm talking to you, Sammy Watkins, just like you did in week one. At least while Tyreek Hill's out, and this team's going to be just fine. Because I think when you talk about Andy Reid and the way that he uses his running backs out of the backfield, that's a weapon we don't talk about enough. You bring up Deuce Staley and all the guys he had in Philly, I'll raise you Kareem Hunt. Last year, just last season, everybody talks about Kareem Hunt because he had 7 rushing touchdowns in limited time. He also had 7 receiving touchdowns, so it doesn't really matter who the running back is. Andy's going to be able to utilize him out the backfield, and they're exactly right. That suits Damian Williams' skill set. If LeSean McCoy is anything like the LeSean McCoy we saw on Sunday, where he averaged 8.1 yards per carry, this running game, at least for a while, is as scary as the passing game.
One thing I will say about their wide receiver core, they're just going to need a little bit more. So Mecole Hardman played more snaps on Sunday than DeMarcus Robinson. According to Arrowhead Pride. I'm sitting here looking at the snap chart. Mecole Hardman played 77% of the snaps. DeMarcus Robinson played 58% of the snaps. So they trusted Mecole Hardman a little bit more in week one than they did DeMarcus Robinson. They had one catch between the two of them.
They're both decoys. They're both running out there wasting their time.
You're going to need more than that in this game.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to need more of that. Mecole Hardman, you're going to need more than you not – like, Mahomes didn't throw you the football. Mahomes had almost a career day out there, did not throw the football in your direction. DeMarcus Robinson, you had one catch for 0 yards.
Thanks for coming.
If there is a player who can change their perception, man, decoy time is over when it comes to this team. If you're not going to have Tyreek Hill there, and we agree there's going to be a different level of tension on Sammy Watkins where he is typically your decoy, man, somebody else is going to have to step up and have a 5-catch-for-80-yard day. Who's going to be the one to step up and do that and take advantage of the opportunity that they have? We'll see.
Who do you think it is? Who do you think, while Tyreek Hill is out, has more yards? Mecole Hardman or DeMarcus Robinson?
If I had to guess, I would say DeMarcus Robinson. I think it's going to be very close between the two.
BK? I feel like I've seen enough of DeMarcus Robinson. Like, if that's the known commodity, it's just not that good. I'll take the unknown commodity at this point that is Mecole Hardman.
I'd probably go with Mecole Hardman, but I don't think either of them are going to have huge numbers in this span, honestly. Like, I just think a lot of the targets are going to be split somewhere between Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, Damian Williams, and LeSean McCoy. I think those are going to be your top four targets during this time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it, and again, the answer to my own question would be Damian Williams. I think that Damian Williams is just going to be Deion Lewis, James White. I think he's going to be their number two receiver in terms of catches, not yards. So Sammy Watkins obviously going to have more yards. He's going to be more down the field. I think that we're going to see a huge target volume that if you play in PPR, I would grab Damian Williams. I think he's going to have 4 to 6 catches a game over the next month or so. I think he's going to be a very critical asset when it comes to the passing game. Coming up in a little bit, we'll all take a minute. Plus, we'll give you a little fantasy advice with Benny Heiss. Go ahead and text in your questions. Text line 69306. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets in the American Royal and the Pop Quiz. A lot to get into, not a lot of time. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Well, let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Give me a minute.
You are officially on the clock.
Coming up in about 5 minutes, we will catch up with Benny Heiss for a little fantasy advice. If you got a question, go ahead and text it in. Text line 69306. We'll also give you a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the American Royal, which is this weekend. If you've never been, it is basically a college football tailgate minus the football. It is a really good time. I'll be there on Friday night myself. So if you want to win a pair of tickets, a 4-pack of tickets, all you got to do is keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we will get into our cover 2, one college football and one NFL topic. It is very conveniently named the cover 2. But first, BK, let's all take a minute, my man. My college football minute for the day is, as you know, it is the 150-year anniversary of college football. So ESPN today, they put out their list of the top 10 college football teams of all time. Let me read to you the top five. Number five, last year's Clemson team. Number four, the 1995 Nebraska Cornhuskers. Number three, the 1972 USC Trojans. Number two, the 2004 USC Trojans. And number one, the 1971 Nebraska Cornhuskers. Now, I was only born in 1988, so I cannot say that I watched the 1971 Nebraska Cornhuskers. But I did watch the 2001 Miami Hurricanes. Can I go through the roster for you guys really quickly? At quarterback, Ken Dorsey. Listen to the running backs who were on the 2001 Miami team. Clinton Portis, Nahe Davenport, Willis McGahee, and Frank Gore.
Damn.
That was the running backs for the 2001 Miami Hurricanes. Their number one wide receiver option, Andre Johnson. Yes, the Andre Johnson that played for the Texans. Their tight end, Jeremy Shockey. Their backup tight end, Kellen Winslow. I ain't even got to the defense yet. You want to hear that some guys that were on the defense?
Oh, yeah.
Vince Wilfork, Jonathan Vilma, Philip Buchanan, and oh, yeah, Ed Reed. They also had Andrell Roll on that team. It's not close. The best college football team of all time is the 2001 Miami Hurricanes. I don't really think it's that close. That
Vilma! Where's the 08 Kansas Jayhawks? Aqib Talib, Chris Harris, Daryl Stuckey, Todd Reesing, Kerry Meyer, Desmond Briscoe. Didn't make the list?
Behind Missouri, actually. So that's where they are.
Huh. BK, give me a minute. Oh, by the way, my minute today? Yeah, is Levine's list. You give me a minute, I give you a list. Here we go. Speck got married over the weekend. Yesterday, we were talking about our favorite movies with weddings in them. So I came up with a list, although I only had 8. Number 8,
The Wedding Singer. Number 7, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Number 7, Meet the Parents. Number 6.
Wait.
I don't know what I did. I think I'm on number 5, actually. The Hangover. Would you guys consider The Hangover even a movie
about a
wedding?
You have the list in front
what
of you.
What have you been doing for these minutes the last 2 days?
Not a good job.
Okay, all
number
right.
4.
Sure. Like it's been bad, my bro. I keep my comments to myself. It's been bad.
Number 4, The Princess Bride. You ever seen that movie?
I've never seen it
before. Marriage.
I actually have it on DVD. Danny let me borrow it. I've just never watched it.
You should check it out and then probably return it to him. Number 3, Bridesmaids. Number 2, Father of the Bride. That's the last movie I cried during, Father of the Bride. And number 1, Wedding Crashers. Not a good minute, but that was my minute for today.
No, I mean, not a good minute, an understatement for what we just went through, what we just had to endure there, my guy. It's all right. You know what the beauty about the calendar is? You get another chance tomorrow at the exact same time.
Also a good, did Forrest Gump end up marrying Jenny at the end of the movie?
He did end up marrying Jenny at the end, and then she died of AIDS.
Oh, that is not good.
No, she ended up dying.
Another question that I don't know, even though I probably should, since it's
BK
my
list. Like I said something I shouldn't have said. She died of AIDS.
No, I wasn't saying that. Sean asking the question. I'm just dying.
I got one more.
Have you ever seen Forrest Gump?
Can I ask my last question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Did Will Smith ever end up getting married on Fresh Prince?
I think he did to Nia Long, Lisa's character. I think he did, but I can't remember 100%. Text line probably knows. Text line 69306, but I'm pretty sure that Will got married.
Let us know on the text line.
I feel like that's like the last 3 or 4 episodes. Because remember the whole, they have the episode where they get stuck in the elevator and they're having the flashback?
Yeah.
That's at his bachelor party.
Once Nikki came around, that show went south real quick.
Yeah, I mean, the last season, everybody mailed it in because Will started focusing on doing movies.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up in a little bit, we will get into our cover 2. BK, take your minute.
For my minute today, I'm going to go ahead and give you my top 10 teams after week 1 of the NFL season. Now, a reminder, I'm not going to overreact to week 1. So some of these teams lost. I don't care. You can yell at me. That's fine. Number 10 is the Carolina Panthers. They looked good in a loss at home against the Rams. I've got the Rams coming up later. At number 9, I've got the Texans. I think I was actually more impressed with what they did last night in a loss than what a lot of teams did in a win over the weekend. At number 8, I'm sticking with the Packers. I know they looked bad on Thursday Night Football. I think there's going to be some growing pains there, but I still believe in the team. I still believe in Aaron Rodgers. At number 7, again, I've said it all week. I think the Steelers are the third best team in the AFC. I'm sticking with them in my top 10. At number 6, the surprise of the weekend for me, the team that jumped up my list the most, it's the Dallas Cowboys. That offense looked really good. I know it's the Giants, but I was curious about what the scheme was going to look like. It looks like they're going to be able to use Dak to his full abilities. At number 5, I've got the LA Rams. At number 4, the New Orleans Saints, who looked pretty good last night in a win. Alvin Kamara looks incredible once again. And the top 3, I think any of these 3 teams in any order is what it's got to be for you right now. Number 3, I've got the Eagles. Number 2, I've got the Chiefs. And right now at number 1, the New England Patriots. That's my top 10 teams after week 1 in the NFL.
Coming up in just a little bit, we will get into our cover 2, one college football topic and one NFL topic from this weekend. But we will do this every Tuesday at 2:50. We'll catch up with our guy, Benny Heiss. If you got any questions, text line 69306. We'll try to get to him. Benny, thanks a lot for coming on today. Who was your buy low candidate after week 1?
I think the one guy that everybody's talking about that they're all deeply concerned about is Todd Gurley. You know, Malcolm Brown got the goal line work. He got 11 carries. Vulture, 2 touchdowns away. But one note, BK, that actually made me feel good was that Todd Gurley played 54 snaps in week 1, and that was 5th most amongst running backs. So I don't think Todd Gurley is dead yet. I think the way that the rotations was working out was that Brown ended up getting those goal line carries. But I know that some people just don't want anything to do with Todd Gurley, and I understand. But I do think he's going to start to be more and more active, and the snaps on the field are certainly an indication of that. Also, I'm still buying low on David Montgomery of the Bears. Clearly their best running back. Matt Nagy admitted 6 carries isn't enough. He still broke a ton of tackles and limited snaps. He was still catching passes. I think they've realized that David Montgomery needs to get more snaps and more opportunities because the Bears' running game needs to open up play action for Mitch Trubisky to not look like a terrible NFL quarterback anymore.
On the other side of the coin, there are some guys you could sell high on after week 1. I have DeSean Jackson in a couple of leagues. I'm going to throw out a couple of trade offers, see if anybody's going to be able to give me a little something more than what I'm expecting for him the rest of the season. Who are some guys that after a big performance in week 1, you're ready to sell high on?
Yeah, DeSean Jackson's a really interesting name. I'm probably going to still continue to hang on to him because I like how they're moving him all over the field. He actually ran some routes out of the slot. But yeah, I definitely think that because there's so many targets in Philadelphia, you can see what the value you're going to get back for him would be. This might surprise you, BK. I think you can make an argument that you can sell high on Lamar Jackson right now, because he could still be a terrific quarterback in fantasy. But let's step back for a second and let's remember who he put up this massive game against. The Miami Dolphins. You could probably throw for 3 touchdowns in week 2 against the Miami Dolphins. And they could look worse as the season goes on if they continue to trade guys away. I saw that Lamar Jackson went up straight up for Adam Thielen over on Yahoo. He's gone
for
Tyler Lockett and David Njoku. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not necessarily that it's a guy that you don't believe is going to be good. It's about selling at maximum value. And right now, I don't know if you're going to get a higher value than Lamar Jackson.
The top 3 waivers. Today is waivers day across the fantasy football spectrum. Who are the top 3 guys that you're going after this week, Heis?
They may not necessarily be the most popular 3 guys, but the 3 guys that I'm the most interested in are John Ross with the Cincinnati Bengals. Receivers in year 3 tend to make that big jump. You saw that last year from his teammate Tyler Boyd. I actually think John Ross, who had a top 3, top 4 fantasy day, could have had an even bigger day if he didn't drop some passes. And Andy Dalton also gave him some bad balls too. Plus, when A.J. Green, if he does come back, I think John Ross could be a great sell-high candidate as well. Ronald Jones with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had 14 carries, 93 yards. We were finally waiting for a running back in Bruce Arians' system to finally deliver, and he did. If they start to trust him in pass protection, that's another easy target for Jameis to get the ball to without giving it to the other team. And then T.J. Hockenson with the Detroit Lions. Normally, you stay away from rookie tight ends because it takes them a long time to learn the system and stay effective. Week 1, he set the rookie record for receiving yards in his first NFL game with 131. Those are the 3 guys, John Ross, Ronald Jones, and T.J. Hockenson, that I have the most interest in off the waiver wire.
Final question for you, Heis. Who's the guy that after 1 week you've seen enough and you're just cutting bait already?
Jordan Howard with the Philadelphia Eagles. Miles Sanders is going to start to get more carries, more opportunity, and some more volume. I think Philadelphia just decided to give up a 5th-round pick in the event that they needed a guy that could just be on the field and give them 3-4 yards a carry if Miles Sanders ended up getting hurt, or if the rest of their system didn't work out, or if Darren Sproles got hurt again. They said he's the starting running back. I don't think he will be the starting back the rest of the way.
That is our guy, Benny Heis. He will be on with us every Tuesday and Thursday for fantasy football information. Always appreciate catching up with my guy, Benny Heis. I don't think there was a player in the NFL who had a more disappointing week 1 than Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston in his NFL career has started 55 games. He has over 100 turnovers. He had a 45.5 rating on Sunday against the San Francisco 49ers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers brought in a coaching staff that their number one objective was to fix Jameis Winston. He does not appear to be fixed by me. Jameis is one of those players that if you watched him play at Florida State, it was very obvious that the turnovers were going to follow him to the NFL, but you thought that his production was going to be able to override it. I don't think that's the case with Jameis Winston. I'd be trying to get out of that as quickly as I could.
Who's the better pro quarterback that plays in the state of Florida, Jameis Winston or Gardner Minshew?
I mean, at this point, I'd rather have Gardner Minshew. There's at least a degree of unknown and coachability with him that I could live with. Jameis is a turnover machine. Like, you can't win. Like, if your quarterback's going to turn the ball over on average 2 times a game, I just don't know how you win with that quarterback. Coming up in a little bit, we will get into our cover 2. We have a college football storyline and an NFL storyline. But first, let's give you a chance to win a prize.
Stand by, going to air. Five, four, three. Exciting quiz program.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
Today's pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The winner gets a 4-pack of tickets to the American Royal. Trust me on this one. You want to go to the American Royal. It is an absolutely incredible time. It's at Kansas Speedway Friday night. Hopefully the weather's good. Still warm outside. I'm telling you, I've had some great times at the American Royal. Today's pop quiz is a movie. BK, take it away.
Hey, how'd y'all make out today?
How could you do this to us after everything we've done for you?
Oh, see, I made Lewis a bet here. Lewis bet me that we couldn't both get rich and put y'all in the poorhouse at the same time. He didn't think we could do it.
If you know what movie that is, be calling number 6 to 913-576-7610, and the 4-pack of tickets to the American Royal are yours. Coming up, we will get into our cover 2. Kansas, you got to win those kind of games.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.